You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
Welcome to episode 58 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Honesty with myself, Steve Perrault, and Joey Capone. The Red Sox went into Baltimore and won a series, won a tough series on the road. Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Doesn't it really feel like they won a meaningful series, too?
Yes.
Isn't your heart full? Like Christmas morning, brother?
Dude, how tense was that ninth inning?
You're like, are they gonna...
The last one?
Yes!
Like Barnsey comes in, you're on the edge of your seat, coming off of watching the Patriots just get crushed, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, here we go. Like, it comes down to this. Whole series comes down to this inning right here. And what does Matty Backpacks do? He comes in, and he shuts the door. He shuts the door right in the Orioles'
face. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. You lose. We win. Series over. Red Sox win. Let's go.
Put it in the books.
All right, that'll do it for episode 58.
All right. Thanks for coming, everybody. We love you so much.
Later, guys. All right. All right, that's good. That should be good to post.
All right, perfect. All right, I'll see you. Do you want to just send that over and I'll...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll edit out all the bad stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. We should probably do a whole episode, right?
Oh, yeah. If you want to do... All right, I thought we were doing a one-minute show. Yeah, we can do the hour.
No, let's keep it going. Since we're recording, we might as well keep going.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't feel a thing. I had to remind myself today that they won the series. Like, after the game ended, I was like, that's a series win. Yeah.
It's a series cool. W. How about that?
I'll spoil this. I don't have an MVP. I didn't write one down. I was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm not going to look at the stats.
Let's just get that out of the way now. Nate, I know you're listening. This will just make your job easier to get a little head start on this. Series MVP, Rafael Devers. He hit .333 for the series. Grand slam, 5 total RBI. Had been hitting .195 since the All-Star break, Joey, heading into this Orioles series with 3 homers and 143 plate appearances for Devers. Yikes. He has a good series. I mean, it's really just that one swing, right? Lyles was awful for the Orioles.
He's so bad.
Oh my God.
But then,
he was terrible.
But one of every 12 or 13 pitches, he would just spot his curve on the black. I was like, what is that? Out of nowhere. Like, whoever scouted him must have only seen him throw that one pitch.
This guy's going to be great.
Wow. Yeah, just ignore the other 11. And this guy's, like, not bad. But, man, yeah, no, he's booty.
Yeah. Talking booty talk, it's Jordan Lyles. Mm-hmm. That's booty talk right there.
You should have him on for that segment and just talk about himself.
Just be like, so what's your life story? Rafael Devers, I got him a series MVP. You want to just hop on board with that one?
I love that pick. Yeah, that was actually my pick.
Okay, cool. So, Nate, we have a unanimous selection for series MVP, Rafael Devers, a grand slam off of a guy that was throwing slop. And it doesn't really – see, here's the thing. At least Lyles is an MLB pitcher. I saw – what was it? Who was tweeting this? I don't know what it was. I lose track of the accounts at this point. But Stanton hit a home run off a position player. And it was like, oh, Stanton gets off the schneid with a, you know, bomb off the foul. Stop. Stop it.
Yeah.
And Bethancourt, by the way, I don't know much about him on the Rays. Throws 94. And he's like a utility guy.
Yeah, remember he was when the A's came to town back whenever that was. At the time, he was like the best hitter on the A's.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were like, who? Like, this is their best hitter. Yeah, and then moved him to the Rays. And then obviously the Rays just like continue to like make people into something.
Yeah, it's somehow insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that's about, man. But I guess there's a couple of two-way guys kind of coming up through, not the Rays system, but just coming up in general. I don't know. Shohei's kind of paving the way, dude. Is Bethancourt?
Shohei's not bad. Too? Yeah, Shohei's definitely been pretty good. One thing I respected about Bethancourt is that I flicked over to watch that game a little bit. Last two games of that series were not competitive at all. The Yankees blew out the Rays there to win that series. But he was doing he was doing the position player thing, like the Brock Holt thing, of just kind of lobbing him in there. But then he would throw 94. So it was like Donaldson kind of looked – he lobbed one into Donaldson. He just watched it. It's like, okay, let me get the timing down. And then he threw 194 right past him. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What the hell are we doing here?
We don't do that. We don't do that. Yeah.
Which Donaldson's kind of a clown. I don't really like Josh Donaldson, but I don't really blame him.
I mean, it's hard
him.
To like somebody you're like genuinely afraid of. I'm speaking for you because I am.
Not, I mean, I'm afraid of anyone that could beat me up, so I guess. But, like, that's not the point. I just – there's been too many things I've heard about him. And then I don't know if we'd mentioned it on the podcast, but he wasn't the best with a couple of kids before a game in terms of, like, not signing on. He was kind of a – so I don't know. It was – he's not great.
It's kind
but
of
anyway,
his thing. He's not –
He's kind of a jerk. That's kind of his thing. Donaldson's kind of a jerk, and that's what he does. But I couldn't blame him in that. I'm like, yeah, I'd be looking out like, what? You just threw, like, 40 and then 94? What are we doing here? But anyway – the one stat I saw, Joey, because we're not—I mean, we're not going to do like an in-depth breakdown of this series. We'll mention a couple of things that came up, but a stat that Nesson put up there that they're at Camden Yards last year, you know, when they obviously still had the normal left field, maybe a little further in than some parks, 61 homers by This is the time of the show where Joey goes to throw his cat across the room.
I'm talking about Camden Yards.
No sense for the moment. I am so sorry, dude. Please go on.
This is the best part of the show here. All right, so they put a stat up that righties at Camden Yards last year hit 61 homers. And that righties this year have only hit 17. And these are opponents.
Yeah.
That is a huge drop off. And clearly the only reason why the Orioles were in the wild card race, and a mega shout out to the Boston Red Sox. Like we mentioned, this is what we're at. This is where we're at. Play spoiler, you know, start knocking some of these teams out. Orioles, you think you're in the race? Not really anymore. So 5.5, 6 back. I mean, that's not going to cut it. We know what that was like way back when, being 5.5 back.
Yeah, but we were both like 100% they're getting it.
Me more so. I still feel pretty confident that they weren't going to make it. And I think even, 3 weeks ago, I was probably seeing like 1 out of, you know, maybe 20% or something like that, 10%. I don't know. But it's at least a little relieving now to just know, all right, now there's 21 games left. Now there's, you know, 20, 19, do the countdown. But yeah, I was definitely surprised by that stat. The outfield, left field, just looks stupid. It looks like a when you do the video game, you do the, you know, build your own park thing, and it's like, okay, but that would never be in MLB dimensions. No. Like that would never be in a real park, like Sick Park, you know, Tommy. But I don't know where it came with that name, but Sick Park Tom Brady. But that would never be a thing in a real MLB park. Oh no, it is in Camden. Okay.
What is the logic? Did they ever say, like, oh, we're doing this because of this? Or they're like, we're just changing things up. We're just seeing it. Well, we hate the wall.
I think – I don't know what the exact stats are.
They have a lefty-heavy lineup?
I I think Santander is one of their best guys. He's a lefty, but I think that, well, it hurts Mountcastle, that's for sure. Mountcastle, I fear that dude every time he comes up. He's got a stance of like, I'm sneaky about to take it deep. He kind of puts you to sleep a little bit in the box, but he hits bombs. He had a couple that were just shy of being homers this weekend. Shout out to Kike, really good defense this weekend. But I think it's because they had the highest or a top three home run rate to left field of like any park in baseball. So they're figuring, okay, our team ERA in the last, what, five, six seasons is probably bottom five in the league. Let's at least try to help them out a little bit. And offensively, since you play 81 at that park, you figure it out. You get used to it. Now it becomes a whole home field advantage. Just looking at it, though, and Nesson has done a good job this year of incorporating StatCast and showing exactly what it used to be, what it is now. StatCast is so advanced now. Like, I'm insanely impressed with the tracking of the player. StatCast has, like, when they show the replays, they had one of Bogey from home to second. It was his fastest home to second all year from about a week ago. And the replay, it's like Bogey's size, and the little guy moves like Bogey. Like, they, like, track the player in his arms and, like, his bones. It's like StatCast went ham this year. I'm not missing that. Shout out to you guys. It might just look like, oh, it's just generic guy. No. It's literally, that's Xander Bogaerts. That's exactly what he looks like in, like, I don't know, animated, whatever form that is, digital form.
To achieve that, you usually have to wear, like, a motion capture suit and be, like, on a sound stage. And I don't know how I don't know what they do. I mean, period. I don't know what they do, but like,
where's the headquarters for StatCast?
I got no clue what they got access to, what cameras they're using, what they're putting in the jerseys, or I don't know.
Yeah,
it looks like they got motion trackers in their sweat glands. I have no idea what they're doing.
How are they doing it?
It's working. I don't know what they're doing, but it's
doesn't
working.
The guy, the little guy that's running, always looks like the guy? Like it'll move like Devers, it'll move like JD.
But I don't know. I don't know.
I think so. If I would love to see a replay. This was maybe a week or so ago. Xander Bogaerts had a double, and out of the box, I'm thinking, oh, the only way he's getting this is if he's booking it. They show him, he's booking it because Xander's been doing that all year. Xander's been playing his ass off since game one, and now with teams out of the race, doesn't matter. He's still going 110%. But StatCast, it's just props to you guys. Because it looks exactly like the player. And it's literally identical as they're moving around, as they're sliding. The timeout call that they do to the ump, I'm like, God, I don't know how they're doing it, but props to them. No. We said we would give this update every time, so we're going to keep doing it. FanGraphs has the Red Sox with a 0.1% chance of making the postseason classics, so you're saying there's a chance. With our unofficial official elimination number down to 3, if the Red Sox go 19-2, they can technically still make the playoffs. So there you go. 19-2 the rest of the way gets you to 88 wins, gives you a chance, which would, I mean, that would be truly insane.
Can you imagine if they went like 21-0 from here out?
If they go 21-0, I will give a listener a new car. I'll
give a listener a tattoo and a bad one. That's all I got.
That seems like if they go like 0-21 or something, because that I don't think you want a tattoo from Joey or
hey,
me.
You don't know. I've given a lot of tattoos. You don't know. I could be really good. I
think you would have mentioned this by now. Yeah. I think you would.
I've given a lot of tattoos. I've given a lot to myself.
I think you would have mentioned that you're good.
See,
this is a Joey thing. Joey, I respect how true you are to yourself. You're an authentic individual. When you said you've given yourself tattoos, that was not a joke. You have done that.
I like 20 of them. Yeah. I got like Doritos on my leg. I practiced my handwriting on my... Yeah, I wanted to be a tattoo artist at one point. My mom, for whatever reason, bought me, like, a tattoo gun.
Oof.
Was like, here you go. And, like, you can't just, like, ask your friends to practice on them. So, kind of went nuts. What I'm saying is, if you want one of these Doritos that, my God, are so good and cool, all you got to do is hope that these socks go 21-0. I'll hook you up.
Yeah, what I'm saying is StatCast. Great job, man. I mean, it looks great. Great job, StatCast. But yeah, 19-2 at worst. There you go for that one guy in the back that still believes. What's his name?
Oh, William?
William. There you go, brother. One thing I want to talk about, this is more a league thing. MLB made some rule changes. I believe it's just these three. Is it one of those where like these are the three big ones or it's...
So it is these three, but there's like a lot of subsections to each rule.
Okay, take it away, Joey. This is right up your alley.
All right. So I'll just run through 1, 2, 3 real quick. integration of a pitch clock, the bases are going to be a little bigger, and there's going to be restrictions on shifts. The pitch clock one, I think, is the one that you can really break down the most. So it's a 15-second pitch clock for when the bases are empty, 20 seconds for when there's runners on, a 30-second clock between batters. The pitcher gets two, I forget the word that they used. He can step off the rubber twice per plate appearance.
Yeah.
The batter can take one timeout per plate appearance. The batter must be in the box and ready to go with at least 8 seconds on the clock. This is one I didn't know. I was racking my brain. It's one of those things like you know the answer, but like I had to actually see it written out of like what happens if you violate the pitch clock?
They can shoot you. Like,
and I figured it's probably getting shot.
Yeah. That's so.
But I had to see it in writing.
That's why they have the snipers up on top of Fenway. So like
yeah.
Before it was to make sure nothing crazy, no awful event happens at Fenway.
Yeah.
Now if a pitcher, you know, goes past the pitch clock legally, those guys can shoot the guy on the mound.
And like too many mound visits. If they exceed the number of mound visits, it's
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah, just out. This is one that is not getting talked about enough. I can't believe that I didn't see this anywhere other than like inside an article where somebody actually like went through the rules and was like, you know, breaking them down. There's a limit on pickoff attempts.
Yeah.
So the third unsuccessful pickoff attempt grants the runner the next base.
So let me get this right, Joey, because mm-hmm. I didn't do a super deep dive into the rules. I wish they came out more on a Monday. And I think it was Friday that they dropped. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not mistaken, you can make two pickoff attempts per base runner, right?
Yes.
Is that what they're implementing? And yeah. That's per that base runner's time on the bases, like yes. That round. See, that's so my dad sent me an article that was eye-opening to me where this happened in the minors where a guy tried to pick a runner off of first two times in a row. And the whole bench was like, what are you doing? Because this was one of their speedsters that got on first. Because mm-hmm. Then he can't pick him off the rest of that base runner's time on the bases.
Well,
so,
you can, but you're... If it's unsuccessful that third time,
then you're basically you don't have any more pickoffs left. And I don't know if this is different mm-hmm. from the minor rule, but what I read it was essentially it's like okay, now you can't throw over anymore. Guy steals second and then steals third. He steals both because like the pitcher's looking at him and he's like, I know you can't throw this, so I'm just gonna have a huge lead and I'm gonna steal the base and then they sack fly him in. And it was something where I'm like, oh right, okay, because let's be real. The pitchers were pissed. When these rules came out, the pitchers were very upset. Stromboli on the IG story was like triple thumbs down emoji. He didn't just hit it with one. He decided to hit it with three thumbs downs and saying the game, you know, stick to the game. It's great as it is. Don't change it.
And you know he thought about staying at two.
But he went to three.
And then he sat there and was like, you know what? That I don't feel like this really conveys what I'm trying to say enough.
Yes.
Are people getting this?
If it's two thumbs downs, then clearly it's not going to set the tone. Let me just, I don't want to lie to anybody here. I want to make sure. He actually did three, right? No, I lied.
Are you serious?
He did two. He did two thumbs
okay,
downs.
Okay, he did go with two. All right. I was going to say three is kind of a lot because you don't even have three hands. You can't even give
exactly.
Three thumbs
like three thumbs downs is literally impossible. Yeah, are there
it would
any
take
people
two
that
people
have...
at least.
Let's see. Does anyone have three thumbs? I'm sure people have three thumbs.
I'm sure people got like 12 out there.
Thumb duplication, which is sometimes also called pre-axial polydactyle or yep. bifid thumb.
Yep. Or bifid thumb, yep.
Is one of the more common congenital hand conditions. About one out of every... Wait. No way. One out of every 1,000 babies has three thumbs? That's just so not true.
There's no way. I know 1,000 babies. There's no way.
There's no chance. Oh, man, this looks
You're
rough.
Saying 0.1% of people?
That's not... There's no way. Has three
there's
thumbs?
There's no way. So you're I'm saying not. At any given time at a full Fenway Park, 37 people have three thumbs there? Nah, I don't buy that.
I'm not
I
buying
buy
that.
That.
So let's just act like you didn't hear that stat. That was definitely wrong. From Google.com. But yeah,
back
to the rules.
I should Yeah, I should clarify. If you exceed the pitch clock, it's an automatic ball. It's like you figured that, but like
you can get shot, or they can shoot,
or you
legally.
Can get shot, and also the batter can violate the pitch clock as well. Like I said, if he's not in the box with 8 seconds left, automatic strike.
Moral of the story these are good. These are all good. I know baseball fans typically like to lean towards, oh, Manfred's an idiot, these are dumb, speed it up, blah, 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 and be all upset. I gotta tip my cap here. Having a pitch clock, I remember early when I heard it first, years ago, the idea of it, I was like, no, I don't think you need this. It's not really necessary. Well, I also thought it wasn't going to be fair when there's guys on, where it's like, oh, he knows when he's going to be going to the plate, and he can just time it up and go. Helps that you get a little more time when there is a base runner. I know Rich Hill had floated the idea of, like, can we at least in later inning situations when it's higher pressure get a little more time on the pitch clock, which is fair. But
Rich asking for that, of all people.
Yeah, and of all people, guy goes 4 innings a game asking that is interesting.
True. That's true.
Good start on Sunday, though. Good start on Sunday by Rich. But also, it's like, and I think a big part of that for Hill is, like, he's the veteran and he's standing up for his guy. It's like, Rich, you're 42 years old. You know, this isn't really going to impact you that much, man. But no, I like it overall. I think it's, you know, it's something that the pitchers aren't loving because let's be real. These are very hitter beneficial rules. You got bigger bases, which I actually don't think is hitter beneficial. I think that's more now the ball can get to first quicker, right? Because you can be further. I mean, the base is bigger, so the first baseman can technically be stretching further closer to the other infielders when they're throwing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that split second
sometimes.
I think
that benefits everybody. Honestly, I think that benefits everybody. Because the logic that Major League Baseball put behind it is that it was going to reduce injury.
Yeah, less guys stepping on each other. Yeah. Machado now has even less reason to be cleating guys at first, so he probably hates these rules. But I wonder where the base... See, now it comes down to where you're setting the base up. Like, is the front of the base in the same spot it was, but now it's just wider? Or is it, the same... Is it, like, closer to the plate and closer to second base? You know what I mean? Does that...
Is it, like,
stretching out to home, stretching out to second? Because then it's equally beneficial. But if it's not, then it's helping the first baseman.
That's very interesting. Yeah, No. It's still got to be equidistant home because it's still got to be 90 feet, period, from home.
Yeah, so
right?
I think
that's 90 feet helps to the front of the bag, right?
Yes, has to be.
Yeah.
So this does, if we're going to really break it down, this does help the infield get base runners quicker because the bag got a little fatter. And now there's more area to step on that you can get closer to the infielders. Anyway,
wondering, by the way, it goes from 15 inches to 18 inches. So it's 3 inches bigger.
Yeah,
in
split
every direction.
Second. Split second can help you. But I like the rules a lot. I think the shift is just going to take time to get used to. I mean, you know, infielders weren't pumped about that. I know a lot of them were saying MLBPA, by the way, not the best look that they shot down the last proposal to end the lockout. And now they were shooting these rules down, too. It's like, wait a second. You had the lead. You guys had the lead on the league, and now it's kind of going back the other way. So I wasn't super pumped to see that. I understand that they need to reflect the majority of the players' opinions, and that's what they were doing, and that's their job. But there needs to be a little more understanding of, guys, this is what your fan base wants and who pays you. It's the fans. Like that's why you're making what you're making is the people that are consuming your product. So, getting used to the shift is probably not going to be the easiest thing. It helps having a guy like Trevor Story that can cover a lot of ground. Now it makes those guys way more important that have, you know, the quick twitch and, you know, the second the ball's hit, nowhere to go, good reactions off the bat helps. But I think it's just going to be – it's going to look way more normal. The amount of times that a shift, I'm like, what are we doing? There was one in the World Series – or not the World Series, whatever. It was in the – I forget what round of the playoffs during COVID. But Machado – made a catch by like the right field foul pole. Manny Machado, the third baseman, was making a catch on the warning track in right field. I'm like, this is getting out of control.
It's
so
ludicrous.
I'm
it
glad that
restriction.
We're. It needed restriction. It was just stupid. It looked stupid. It was dumb. It didn't make any sense. I hated it. So obviously, though, pitchers are going to look at that and say, hey, now it's less chance for me to get an out in right field with these lefties up and in general, but typically for the lefties is when you have the mega shift.
It hurts them. Yeah, every other sport, unless I'm forgetting one here, maybe basketball, I don't know the rules of that game, has some offsides limitation to it in one way or another. You know, there's a physical space in which the offense and defense is limited to being in.
Yeah.
So it makes a ton of sense that, like, no, you guys can't put all of your defensive players over there when there's a bigger chance that he's going to hit the ball over there. Like, that's not – you have to be in a set place. So it's not this unfounded thing. You know, it's not completely out of left field. It I don't know. It makes a lot of sense to me. One thing that I'm excited for is the idea that people are talking about that maybe infielders will be put in motion before a pitch. You know, maybe sending your shortstop or your second baseman in motion towards second base.
Interesting.
Because they only have to be on their side of the infield when the pitch is released.
That I didn't think of that. That's going to look that's stupid. Cool. That'll be like arena that's football.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool, though.
That's going to, I mean, batters are going to hate that. You're just going to have guys running around as you're trying to focus
Trevor
on
Story takes off. As you're, yeah, come on. That's pretty cool.
You're facing like a 97 mile an hour Bayo tailing fastball, and you got Story just bopping all over the place in the infield. Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, that's what I'm excited about is to see. There's always adjustments, right? It's like, okay, here are the rules. Now, how do you tweak it in your favor, you know, and stay within the rules? So that's going to be an interesting part of this. But if you were to rank the three, Joey, what do you got in terms of what you like the most? Your favorite rule change of the three, one, two, three, what do you got?
I'll tell you this. Bigger bases is in third. I don't really care about that. I mean,
same.
Whatever.
Let's just throw them in third. I don't think anyone really cares that much.
It's tough between the other two, man. I like them both. I know that the pitch clock, I'll probably put pitch clock one because it's going to have a greater effect on me as a viewer.
Yeah. I think pitch clock has to be one. When they put the stat out there, when MLB tweeted that the average minor league nine-inning game was reduced by 26 minutes this past year, like, that is a huge deal. And I've always been of the belief of, like, okay, a game is going to take as long as a game's going to take. I think there's been a little too much whining about that. If you like baseball, you like baseball. Now it's about fine-tuning it for the people that like – to me, this is about fine-tuning it for people that like baseball. Not necessarily like, oh, we're going to bring in a bunch of new viewers. It's like, maybe you bring in some. But the people that aren't going to watch a game, I don't think are flooding to the game. Oh, my God, pitch clock, I'm going to watch every game now. No, they're typically going to keep complaining about something. So I like that they're trying to make it quicker. I think that this – I also just think that this encourages action. This now is just like, okay, it benefits the thinking man. That's like, what? Not only what am I doing this pitch, what are we doing the next pitch? Like, now it's you look at the at-bat more as a whole instead of this pitch-by-pitch thing that got so tiring to watch at times. Remember some of the David Price games? I'm like, God, dude, throw the ball. It would get so tiring with some of these pitchers. And the Red Sox had started –
Sawamura, too.
Oh, Sawman was tough. Dude, wiping the head – You're rubbing the ball, stepping off the mound. It's like, dude,
what comes in when it's 7-1. I know. And it's like, bro, we don't need a 25-minute top of the eighth.
And every guy was a full count. I'm like, we can't do this anymore. So pitch count is going to be, or pitch clock rather, is going to be good. And, you know, everyone that's seen it in the minors has loved it. I really haven't heard any negative feedback. But now it's always been a thinking man's game. Whoever's a step ahead normally gets the benefit. And I'm very interested to see how these rule changes encourage thinking outside of the box, because you know that's going to be the next thing that happens. I would have the same order. I think it's pitch clock one, shift band two, bigger bases a distant third. But yeah, now it's what? You got 3 weeks left of the shift. I had tweeted this out, but I really think let's mess around, right? Sox are out of it. Let's do some weird shifts. Have everybody on the right side of the infield. Imagine everybody on the right side of the infield, including the outfielders. If you just
everyone, yeah,
pitcher, seven catcher, dudes man. On the right side of the infield, that would actually look hilarious. It's like, just make any contact inside the park, home run. But
it's the only loophole in the shift restrictions. Like, if you put all seven guys on one side of the infield, we'll let you do it.
Yeah, that's
because then it's hilarious.
Because then you're obviously risking, you know, the worst case scenario happening. Yeah. But I think one we should have a. That, oh, what do you got?
But yeah, one other thing about the pitch clock and kind of the pushback from the purists, if you will. You know, the baseball is going to take as long as it takes. You know, stop trying to speed up the game. Stop trying to change the game, people. I think those people are coming from a place of they love the game, right? And they don't want it to change. And they're like, hey, I want you to appreciate the same things I appreciate about the game. And I love the game. What I don't love is how much time there is when that the game is not happening.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If anything, I want to compress more game per minute, you know? I think that's where like the disconnect is. People are like, oh, you're changing the game. We love the game. No, I love the game. That's why I want more of it.
Yeah. I love the game, so change it for the better. I think that's a lot of, I've seen the common tweet out there of like, oh, change is good. Crappy change isn't good. If I change into just like living on the street, that's a bad idea, right?
That'd be a bad idea. Yeah, don't do that.
Just for the hell of it, just to do it. That makes no sense. Like, you want to have change that is productive. That makes sense. And this makes sense. It's like speed the game up. The bigger bases thing is like, yeah, whatever. I really don't.
Sure.
If anything, it's cool. Like, I have a base from like 10 years ago. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is going to be maybe a little more valuable because it's like, oh, I remember when the bases were this size. Like, no one cares. But
I did think about that when I saw that. I thought like, oh, now Steve has a vintage base.
I got a vintage base.
I really
now.
Did.
Yeah. So at least I got that going for me. But I think it's time for a moment of silence for the shift. Thank you.
I really thought you were going to say the Queen. I really did. I thought you were going to take such a hard left and be like, all right, and real quick, Her Majesty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we just did two. That counts. Jeez, Twitter went off with the Queen dying.
Ah, yeah, crazy. Twitter. Crazy.
Twitter.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not.
You know?
Like Irish people tap dancing in front of the palace. Like, I was not ready for that.
Sometimes you'll see a reaction where you're like, wait, what? What's going on right now? This is insane. I just enjoyed the ride. It was fun just following along. Like, this is nuts. But yeah, I would. One other thing I want to throw in there, and I'm hitting you with this on the fly to not give you a heads up. What one rule change would you add to Major League Baseball?
Beyond these, huh? Beyond these?
Yeah, beyond these.
I don't know if... I'll say this. I don't think robo-umps is at the top of my list.
Yeah.
I'm not quite ready. I'm not anti. I'm just not, like, pushing for it. You know, if it happens, it happens. And, like, I'd probably be in favor of it when it happens. But I'm not, like... It's not at the top of my list. I'll tell you. It seems like most rule changes that come into effect now are all about speeding the game up. So it's kind of hard to think of a rule that's not aimed at that. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, you would think. But I'm just saying, just anything. Does anything come to mind?
You hit me first. Maybe I'll bounce off something you got.
I got one that's kind of stupid and that other people would probably have as well. But I think it would be nuts if in extra innings it was just a home run derby, but similar to what they're doing now with whoever was up last. So it's like, and you can't, no pinch hitting, none of that. So it's wherever you left off in the lineup, that next guy is up, and you get one swing. If you hit a homer, the home team now has a chance to hit a homer with whoever was up last for them. I think it would speed the game up a lot more at the end of, you know, the extra inning games. It would speed that up. I understand the second base rule, and this rule would never actually happen. But in La La Land, I would think a home run derby to end a game would be awesome. And it's not completely unprecedented because they put that into effect for the All-Star game. So it's like MLB has done that for a game that now doesn't matter anymore. But that would be kind of nuts if that was the case.
And that's essentially how hockey and soccer both decide tie games as well. You know, a shootout is essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
So it is kind of weird because how would you do that, though? Would you have like your own pitching coach come out? Or like your own team?
True. See, now it would be – then it would come down to like who's pitching, right?
Yeah. Well, what? Let's say like the other team gets to like put out a pitcher, right? That they pull out of like their bullpen.
Yeah.
Right. And they have to pitch to them like, you know, as competitively as they want to. And if the guy gets like three strikes, he's out. Right. But if there's like four balls, he gets like on base. And if it's not a home run,
this sounds like regular extra innings.
He can run to the bases, and as long as he's there without getting tagged or forced out, he can stay on base.
This is too much.
I think
for
I'm
me.
Onto something.
I think the easy answer is just have your BP guy pitch to you. Like just that, because the point is to hit the home run. It's not to like, you know, just strike a bunch of guys out. The point is to like speed it up and have it be entertaining.
No, I was explaining baseball. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. If you walk, you get first. Yeah. No. If you actually just do the home run derby, I think people would love that. and it would just, you'd have the guys lined up with the bats, you know. It would be another reason for people to stick around too, if it's like a, you know, a school night. It's like, hey, but mom, we might have a home run derby here in like 10 minutes, so kind of can't go home. And that's how it goes. Typically, kids decide, you know, how things go in families. So, yeah.
Kids run the household usually.
Typically.
Yeah. I will say, dude, you actually did spark something in my head. I actually made a TikTok about this when it was the talk of the town during the lockout, during negotiations. There's talk of postseason ghost wins and people being up in arms about that idea. I loved that idea. I don't think there's enough on the line in 162 games.
I would agree.
I want, you know, right now, with the current format, the third-ranked division winner still has to play a wild card team.
Yeah, I mean, they're still hosting the series. I hear what you're saying. It's incentive for the top two seeds.
But that's, yeah, the only incentive for 162 games at the end of the day is home field advantage. I think you can give more than that. Make it a best 2 out of 3 series, but game one is a ghost win for the division winner.
I wouldn't be stunned if it happens. I really wouldn't be stunned, because that was floated, and I'm sure in the, you know, negotiations there were players that were like, eh, I don't want to limp into the playoffs and then already be down 1-0. Like, it's hard enough. Mm-hmm. Not maybe not limp it. Like, I wouldn't want these teams, and these players probably don't want to, like, do everything in their power to get that last wild card spot, and then they're still trailing in the new playoff round that they haven't even played a game in yet. That kind of sucks.
Well, but that's your incentive to win more during the regular season.
No, I know, but it's certain things. It's like, eh, that doesn't feel fair or even close to fair, considering that you're still a playoff team. But they can sit. They've floated it, so it's not like it's a crazy idea. They've definitely floated it. But that's enough on rules. That's enough on rules. We got plenty more to talk about coming up next on episode 58 of Inside the Monster.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to episode 58 of Inside the Monster. I don't even think I'm going to look at the list. I'm not even going to look at the list, Joey, because it's a Jonathan Papelbon episode.
Pap.
It's Pap. It's the Pap episode. Milsey, Elsey, Pap,
Petey. It's also Jose Iglesias and Fernando Abad.
We'll stick with Pap.
We'll stick with Pap. How about Pap, huh?
No disrespect to Iglesias. I liked Iglesias. Especially last year. He was like a bonus hitting and fielding coach. But one thing that I think stats floated, saw some other people tweeting about, and I fully agree, is to give Whitlock and Schreiber the rest of the year off. I am fully down for that. The bullpens are already terrible. Can you remember a Red Sox bullpen that was this bad at preventing inherited runners to score?
No. Let me tell you, I think most people don't remember one either. I tweeted something out the other day. I said it would be so sick if this game mattered. It was during game 2 of this past series when the Sox
17
won
to 4.
Convincingly. Yeah. And somebody replied and said, I read this wrong and thought you said, I'd be so sick. I thought you were breaking to me that the bullpen had just blown the game. This fan read my tweet and thought he missed the bullpen give up 13 runs.
A little hard to do.
That's some low expectations.
That's pretty bad. I mean, you go down the list here of the guys that have come out of the bullpen this year. Austin Davis, I know he had a little stretch where he was good. 5.45 ERA. He is now gone. Where is he? Somebody picked him up. I think it was – who was it? I forget. They were playing in New York the other day. I was like, oh, Austin Davis is warming up? Brazier has been just terrible as an understatement. Diekman was a pain in the ass. Strom, overall, solid. I don't think he's really been the problem. Sawamura, the numbers are a little deceiving, and he's obviously not here anymore. I mean, when you look at the opening day bullpen, who's even still here? The list is very short, and the guys that you've relied on all year with Whitlock and Schreiber understandably are out of gas. It's not surprising that the only two reliable relievers you have got nothing left in the tank. You're out of the race. Does not make much of any sense to have them out there, potentially hurt themselves, and make it a longer offseason. I would start their offseason now and prepare for 2023. I think Maz had mentioned it, like, oh, what if Whitlock's in the rotation? No. No. Bad. Have him in the bullpen. Of course, he's stumbled a little bit in the last week or so. Whitlock is one of the best weapons in any bullpen in baseball. You got to start building around those guys out there. Build around Schreiber and Whitlock, who you have control over, and just completely rework the pen. Even when Barnes comes in, I got no faith. I've been low on Barnes for a while. He closed the door on Sunday. 1-2-3. Props to him. But the amount of times that guys get on base when he's out there is way too high, especially if he's going to be like a seventh inning guy or, you know, a close game guy. You can't have this many guys getting on base when you're pitching.
No. He's a guy that I think is easy to root for, though. I like Barnsley. Want the best for Barnsley. Do you think this is a good time to I got some numbies in regards to what the pitching for this team has been like, Steve. Do you think it's a good time? You got something you want to elaborate a little bit more here?
Just really quick on Barnes here.
Yeah.
And I think he's got like a 2-3 ERA since coming back. But I'm looking at his outings here, and it's like hit, run, two walks, hit, walk, two hits, walk. This is like outing by outing here. This guy's the, and for a guy that pitches one inning every time, just way too many hits, way too many walks. It's too many guys get on base when he's out there. It's been 14 and two thirds innings since he came back. 15 hits, six walks. Just too many guys. You can't have more hits than innings pitched as a reliever. So, Barnes kind of drives me nuts. But hey, to his credit, he's at least making himself look a little better heading into 2023. But yeah, Well, Bayo, who's obviously got filthy stuff and is now becoming somebody that you can't wait to watch when he's pitching, will just randomly have walk issues. And when it goes with him fast with Bayo, I think, and he's a rookie, I get it. Like, the confidence is obviously going to be great one inning, and you kind of lose it the next. And they're mentioning on the broadcast, like, oh, well, when he's going from the stretch, you know, it's kind of messing with him. You're a MLB starter. You're going to be going from the stretch. There's going to be times that you walk the guy or plunk the guy or gave up a single, double, whatever. You're going to be going from the stretch. It shouldn't just completely throw him off and now lead to him not being able to throw a strike. Because actual runs that he's given up on the mound in his last, like, six outings is, like, four. But I think it's double that in terms of earned runs because he'll leave the bullpen with these brutal situations. And these are guys that you don't expect to do anything. Where, like, Caleb Ort, like, obviously he's going to give those runs up. He was throwing the ball all over the place, then getting behind in counts, had to groove a couple. Red Sox Stats had a very funny tweet. I don't know if you saw this, but I gotta find it. I know you were about to mention something, so definitely have at it, because I got to find this.
The way they use Ort is so funny.
It's hilarious.
It's like they just hang him out to dry, dude. I'm sorry, but it's like they're like, sorry, man, you're going to have to wear this one, too.
You're going to have to do
sorry,
it.
Sorry, bud.
I mean, he's also had chances, right? Like, you can also look at that the other way, where it's like, hey, prove that you have any worth on this team. I know Pete Abe had a tweet. saying Alex Cora on why he used rookie Caleb Ort in the sixth inning with a 2-0 lead. You know where we're at. These kids, they need to learn and show us what they have. We didn't throw too many strikes in that inning. The reply by Red Sox Stats. Hopefully he shows something before his 31st birthday in a few months.
These kids.
Something. Yeah. These kids out there. Nothing. I mean, Cora's got to just, like, you know, take the punches the next month. Like, he's all these pressers are going to be a pain in the ass for him. They're all going to suck.
Sure.
And it's like, that's part of what happens when you're out like this, when you're out of the race. It is funny, though. And I know what he means. He's not saying that Caleb Ort's a kid. He means they want to know what they have. And some of them are obviously younger than others. But that reply was hilarious, where it's like, before this kid turns 31, we're going to have to find out what he has. I'm like, I think I know what he has, and it's not much. So there's that.
God bless him. Yeah. God bless Caleb Ort.
Jeesh.
So we can probably both agree here, Steve. Not that the season's over and we're looking totally backwards, but we kind of are looking backwards because the season's kind of over.
Yeah.
The bullpen's issue number one, without a doubt, right?
Yes, I think it's, I don't know, the rotation's going to be a big question mark, but yeah, okay. Bullpen, with how much the bullpen matters in this day's baseball, yes.
Perfect transition, though, because it's pitching in general. It's the bullpen, but it's also the rotation. I wanted to run through some numbies. Team rankings, where the Red Sox rank among Major League Baseball teams, in some offensive categories and then some pitching categories. All right. I would ask you to guess on these, but there's too many of them, so I'm just going to fly through them here, Steve.
Yeah.
Offensively, hits per game, the Red Sox rank second. Doubles per game, they're first.
A lot of doubles.
Batting average, they are fourth overall. On base percentage, they're sixth. Slugging percentage, they are eighth. Runs per game, they are eighth. And BABIP, batting average on balls in play, they are first. And then sometimes they throw the ball. And among pitchers, ERA, they are 25th.
Oof.
Whip, 22nd. Strikeouts per nine, 19th. Hits per nine, 23rd. Home runs per nine, 19th. And walks per nine, also 19th.
It's not good.
Two stats that I did leave out of the offensive categories, though, that are totally worth mentioning. Home runs, they rank 20th. And this one, I quadruple checked it. Left on base per game, 30th.
Sounds they about right. The Red Sox love LOBs. They are big lob guys. They love lobs. The doubles thing has been interesting because in the American League, they got three guys in the top five in doubles. JD's got 38. He's only two off the AL lead, which is just truly stunning. Xander Bogaerts, 37. Rafael Devers, 37. And just a little further behind him, Alex Verdugo, 35. The Red Sox have four guys with 35 or more doubles.
They love doubles, too.
They're like 10 games out of the last playoff spot. It's crazy the amount of times that we've watched games over the course of the year and realize, like, oh, it would have only been if you just had a hit here. Oh, if you just had that there. Mm-hmm. But then that's what happens over 162. You add those all up, and I can't think of a sport that is more reflective of what your team is than baseball. Like, you can't really sneak into the playoffs. You got to, and I know some would say the Red Sox did that last year, but they still won, what, 90 games? Like, over 90? So it's, you still, out of 162, you're going to have to be in the 90s typically to make the playoffs. And you can't
just accidentally win 90.
You don't accidentally win 90 games, what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So, but this bullpen's been a colossal pain in the ass. Like, just the pain it has brought fans. This Sox bullpen has made me want to throw every item in my apartment at the TV this year, Joey. Every item. I've looked around. I'm like, this lamp's going. Water bottle definitely going. I think I have thrown a water bottle at the TV this year. It was empty.
I was going to say, your TV budget is insane. I remember you telling me that getting like three or four a week.
Yeah. And I get the big ones, too. I get like a 80-inch TV. So, yeah, Amazon's just like, keep us in business. Thank God we have Steve buying TVs because no one else is buying Amazon products. So
it's like that, like the delivery, like the, what's it called?
delivery
guy. One of those grocery things where you get just like recurring, like, hey, just bring me milk every Monday. Peapod. He's got a TV pod.
Why is it Peapod? Who came up with
that? So peas come in a pod.
I guess, yeah. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention about the bullpen. Yep. Ian Brown, MLB.com Red Sox writer that I greatly respect, had a tweet that just so perfectly summed up the Red Sox bullpen. So I'm going to read it, Joey. I'm going to read it on this program.
Hit it.
The sense of inevitability, big word for me, that a slight lead won't be held in the mid-innings unless the Red Sox go to one or two specific relievers is like nothing I've seen in my 21 years covering this team.
He's so right.
It's Sox will be up by a couple. Starters had a good outing. It doesn't matter because they're going to blow it. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why even after that Little League game, that's why we couldn't really get upset at Schreiber. It's like this guy has been used so much in high leverage situations, which to me count as like two outings. Like if you come in to a situation, the eighth inning, you're up by one, there's one out and the bases are loaded and you get out of that and still have the lead. That was like two outings. That wasn't just two outs. That was two outings to me. So I would look at it that way for next season of like, you obviously can't rely on these guys that much. These guys being just Whitlock and Schreiber. I don't really want to see any of the other ones. And who knows with backpacks? Question mark. But I thought that tweet summed it up perfectly. Just the 100%. Sense of inevitability that a slight lead is absolutely going to get blown if it's not one of those two guys. And let's be real. Who even cares? Mm-hmm. Like, when Schreiber and Whitlock get one to two innings, there's still other innings. It's not like these starters are going seven and then Schreiber and Whitlock close the door. You haven't had the luxury of that. And Tanner Houck's been gone for – I forgot about Tanner. I keep forgetting about Tanner Houck. He's been thrown in there closer is done. And you know, he got surgery and, you know, hopefully he'll be ready for next year. It sounds like he will. But, that's just been – inevitability is such a perfect word to use there that the lead's going to be blown. Because even if they pitch, even in games they pitch, doesn't really matter because you still have the 7th, 8th, and 9th normally after that.
It's weird how long it took me to realize that, you know, that they're how short the trust list is.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I just didn't put it together that every time a reliever was coming in a high leverage situation, I was like, oh, this guy. Ugh, this guy. And like, I saw that Ian Brown tweet, and I was like, wait, yeah, I guess there are only two guys that I, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's weird. But, and there are some guys, like, Austin Davis, I never gave up on. I was always like, my brain always stuck him in he's good land. It's like, oh, no, he's good, even after
his really good stretch bottom some time, let's be real. That bottom, like, a month. Yeah. In our brains, at least.
Mm. Strom, I still think of as like my guy, so I probably put a little more stock in him than maybe I should. But yeah, it's a short list, brother, and inevitability is just so right. Like, you Sox are up 3-2.
Oh, that's a loss. Yeah, Sox. I mean, a bunch of situations, right? Sox up like 5-3 in the 7th. That's a loss. 4-1 in the 3rd, get ready for pain. That's a loss. Like, there's so many scenarios of leads that winning teams win in those scenarios, and the Sox are not a winning team. They're going to have to really battle to avoid a losing season. That's where we're at, and that's another thing to follow if you're trying to grasp at anything the rest of the way here. With the biggest one, Joey, oh, you have a point. Go.
Yeah. I think it bleeds into other aspects of the game, dude, because we just went through the numbers that show like this team is solid offensively. This team has good bats. But when you either blow a lead or, you know, let the game open up in the middle innings, it's tough to generate something of a comeback, you know? It's tough to find that. I don't have the updated numbers, but I think it was last week. The Sox were 3-49 in games that they were trailing in the 7th and 8th.
That's bad.
So going into the 9th, it was like, you know, granted those numbers are, you know, whatever. Yeah,
a couple
like
of those wins are against the
10.
Yankees, which is stunning. That's the part that blows your mind. Like, it's a couple walk-offs against the Yankees when they're trailing late. But, no, it's a good point. I mean, You want to at least believe, you know, when they're like, dun-dun, like they're, you know, they're playing, like shipping up to Boston and doing the montage and everything. You want to at least believe as a fan, like, oh, they might do it. They might actually do it. But with this team, you haven't really been able to have that. One thing that we are, you know, monitoring very closely, Joey, and that I think matters. Some are probably not as huge a fan as this, but I love a batting title race. And Xander Bogaerts is in just that. Now, I crunched some numbers, and I realized that he already has all the plate appearances he needs for an entire season to qualify for a batting title. So I would use that to his advantage if I'm Xander. I would definitely look at that as, okay, maybe a couple days off the feet, you know, let's cruise to the finish line here. I'm not against that. I mean, at face value, I definitely care too much about Bogey winning the batting title, but it's legit all we have the rest of the way. Like, that's one of very few things that you can still focus on. The Bayo starts will matter too. And I think in the 320s is probably going to do it. The Red Sox have 21 games left. I say Bogey should play like 16 of those. I'd give him 5 of those off, include some off days. Don't have to force it. Obviously, he's going into a situation where he's going to opt out. You want to at least put him in an easy little cruising situation the rest of the way. If he plays in 16 of the final 21 games, that gives him 60 to 70 at-bats left this season, around there, ballpark. Let's call it 70 because he'll probably end up playing in more than 16 games because he's Xander Bogaerts and he wants to play in a ton of games. I get it. Let's 70 at-bats the rest of the way for Bogey. That would be 563 at-bats on the season. And here's how these ABs could go and what the average would end up at the end of the year. If he's 22 for 70 the rest of the way, he finishes the year hitting 318. 22 more hits will get him at 318, which is 1 point below where he is right now at 319. Feels like that might do it. Feels like that might be good enough to win it. If he's 25 for 70 the rest of the way, he finishes the year 323. That's probably the one to target. 25 more hits is probably the sweet spot of like, yeah, he's going to get it. 323 with this field, likely going to get it. If he goes 30 for 70, Joey, the rest of the way, Bogey finishes the year hitting 332.
Wow.
Doesn't that number feel like that's a batting title number, 332?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If anything, 319 doesn't feel like one.
It doesn't. Something about 322 or 323, like if he goes 25 for 70 the rest of the way, 323 feels more batting title-ish, way more batting title-ish than 319.
I think it's 320 is the line.
That is the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I am curious of the recent AL batting title winners. Jose Abreu got it at 309 last year.
Wow.
That's crazy. 309, Yuli Gurriel, 319 two seasons ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year, I mean, sticky stuff, beginning of the year, and there was like 11 no-hitters. Pitchers were kind of dominating.
Yeah, the first like month and a half was kind of a throwaway for hitters. It was the lowest averages ever. So the adjustment period and then really seeing averages go up a little more in the summer months was to be expected. And the COVID year, DJ LeMahieu hit 364 to get the batting title. That's a little crazy. Tim Anderson, 2019, hit 335. Mookie Betts, I don't know if you guys remember him. He used to play for the Sox, and he is the last Red Sox player to get the batting title at 346 in 2018. Altuve hit 346 the year before in 2017. So typically, if you're going to win the AL batting title the last 10 years, you got to hit in the 330s or 340s. Like, that's kind of where you got to be. This year, the 320s will do it. And if Bogey's going to be in the 320s, he's got to have like 25 more hits the rest of the way. Feels like he can do that. 21 games, 25 hits. That doesn't seem like you're asking for too much.
You know what would be the most non-Bogey thing to do ever? Is just sit the rest of the year.
And hope 319
does it. I have enough plate appearances to qualify for the batting title.
Yeah.
So if I'm cashing my chips, I think 319 is going to do it.
Yeah, you need 502 plate appearances, and he has passed that. So at the rankings as they stand right now for the batting title, Bogey's at first at 319. Luis Arraez second, 315. Jose Abreu is making a push, 310. And Aaron Judge still has a shot at the triple crown. I'm really smooth saying that. Triple crown.
You good?
Triple crown. Mm-hmm. He has a chance. He's hitting 307 right now, so 12 points off. 12 points, you can get that in a couple of days. Guy slumps, you go 4 for 5, 3 for 5, you're right at the same number. So, I'd say DH him when you can. A couple more, you know, days off the feet in the field. And I'm all aboard the Bogey batting title train. I want this to happen really bad. And either way, it's a big year for him. Either way, it's a, hey, thought this was it, but then I signed a deal and we're all excited. Or it's the last year of Bogey on the team, which I don't even like saying that.
There's still other things to root for, man. I know a couple minutes ago you said that's all we got right now. Into a series against the Yankees.
I know.
You can beat those Yanks. Clear the path for the Rays. They didn't do themselves too many favors in the second two games of this series.
Not great.
Their series, but.
Not great.
Yeah, no. Would have been so great if it got down to what would have been, 2.5?
Could have been 1.5 if they swept.
Oh, my goodness.
Instead, it's 5.5. So. They're trying. Rays are trying. But we got closing thoughts coming up here, Joey, on episode 58 of Inside the Monster.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, we are back. Episode 58, Inside the Monster. Closing thoughts time. I wanted to use this time to do a quick segment here, Joey.
Yep.
Of which player on this Red Sox team do you think would be best suited to play for the Patriots?
Oh, I got the answer. I got the answer. You go first because I have the right answer.
Okay. I think I have the right answer. Do we have the same person? This would be interesting if we have the same person here.
I doubt we have the same person because I don't think you're going to agree with me.
Okay, good. I would say Trevor Story as a receiver on the Patriots. Get a bunch of slant. Dude, slants for days. Mac and Trevor just boom, easy money. Quick off the line. Get him, go. I feel like he'd be a big yards after the catch guy. Story would be a big yacker. I would love to see that. And just more options offensively would help. Jacoby Myers is really good today, but they're going to need a lot more than that. You know, the tight ends were all right. Didn't really get much from Hunter Henry. Obviously, the Kendrick Bourne thing was very weird, and the fact he didn't get a snap till later in the game was bizarre. But Trevor Story in this Belichick system as a receiver on the Patriots, I think it would work, and I need to see it happen. So the second the season ends, Trevor Story, two of the Patriots, it's happening. Who you got?
Okay, that's not a bad answer. Okay, well, I thought I was going to blow you out of the water, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Who you got?
Tommy Pham. also as a receiver. Super athletic guy, chases down, you know, good, I don't know, catches the ball.
Solid hands, solid hands. He's got solid hands
like,
out there.
Yeah, he's got solid hands. He also just has some football tenacity to him.
Mm.
You know, he's got that grip, if you will, that you usually see more in a football player than you would in a baseball player. He's got something. He's angry. He's an angry man.
Yes. I think, yeah. Hey, and he knows all about football. We know that.
That's true.
Instead of fantasy football, he could just be playing football. He could be playing the real thing.
Maybe that'd be good for him, man. Get it out a little bit, you know?
Yeah, it's like, forget having this fake lineup. Just be part of like a real roster. I think that would work. He looks like a football player. Tommy Pham's ripped.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of influenced it too. He's got a football face going on.
That was a good answer, Joey. I think we both had good answers. That was a good like Family Feud section there. Good answer. What a pain in the ass that game was, huh? That opener
football
for the
Pats. Football sucks. Football's the worst. I hate football. I hate fantasy football. I hate betting on football. It's rigged. It's fake. It's all. You never win. You can try your hardest. You're not going to win. Nothing matters, dude. It's all fake. I'm so upset. I did so horribly on the first Sunday of the football season. I'm over it. I'm over it instantly.
All right. Back to baseball. And yep. We got a fun series coming up from Fenway, a classic two-gamer, which I definitely love. Joey and I will be previewing the Red Sox-Yankees series. Aaron Judge coming to town on Tuesday. That is the next you'll hear from us. But for now, for Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralta. Go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralt. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.